Turning your Bible to John chapter 15. We're going to look at the conditions of bearing much fruit. And again, we'll read verses 7 through 16 to get the context. Verse 7, if ye abide in me, and my words abide in you, ye shall ask what ye will, and it shall be done unto you. Herein is my Father glorified, that ye bear much fruit. So shall ye be my disciples. As the Father hath loved me, so have I loved you. Continue ye in my love. If ye keep my commandments, ye shall abide in my love, even as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. These things have I spoken unto you, that my joy might remain in you, and that your joy might be full. This is my commandment, that ye love one another as I have loved you. Greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. Ye are my friends if ye do whatsoever I command you. Henceforth I call you not servants, for the servant knoweth not what his Lord doeth, but I have called you friends, for all things that I have heard of my Father I have made known unto you. Ye have not chosen me, but I have chosen you, and ordained you that ye should go and bring forth fruit, and that your fruit should remain. That whatsoever ye ask of the Father in my name, he may give it you. Well, after explaining to the disciples his all-sufficiency and their need to entirely depend upon him in order to bring forth spiritual fruit, Jesus now sets forth some conditions and shows the results of abiding in him. To abide in Christ and to have his words abide in you are the keys to fruitful praying and also glorifying the Father. To abide in the love of Christ is one of the keys to the reality of joy and also the exercise of brotherly love. To abide in Christ's friendship by way of intimate fellowship and communion is the key to bringing forth lasting fruit. And I pray tonight that God will grant us the grace to put into practice these admonitions relating to abiding in Christ, so that we can actually experience, that we can feel and know and enjoy a deeper, fuller, and more spiritual relationship with the Lord. And know what it means to abide in Him, to walk in Him, to agree with Him, to walk alongside Him, to follow Him, to listen to Him, to just do what He says. That's really the key to fruitful living. Now, he gives us some conditions for bearing much fruit in verses 7 and 8. If ye abide in me and my words abide in you, ye shall ask what ye will, and it shall be done unto you. Now, in order for a grapevine and its branches to bring forth an abundance of fruit, certain conditions have to be cultivated and maintained in order for it to produce healthy, ripe, luscious grapes that may be used to make good wine. That's primarily what they did with their grapes. They ate them and they pressed them into wine and preserved it. Likewise, if the disciples of the Lord Jesus Christ are to bring forth the kind of fruit that glorifies God, there are certain conditions that have to be met, which is why Jesus employs the word if in John 15, 7. It implies responsibility on our part. It implies that we are responding to this command to abide in Him, to depend upon Him, to rest in Him, and to live for Him. He says, if. The use of the word if implies that the disciples of Jesus Christ may or may not bring forth much fruit. Now, last week I stated, if you're saved, you're going to bring forth fruit in some measure, in some degree. Because that's what, if you're connected to the vine in some way, shape, or form, you're going to bring forth fruit. You're going to demonstrate the aspects of the fruit of the Spirit, the finished product of the Spirit working in you, both to will and to do of His good pleasure. But there are people that bring forth more fruit than other people. And that's illustrated in the parable of the sower. On the good ground, some brought forth 30-fold, 60-fold, 100-fold. So there are conditions. Now, it depends. What does it depend on? Well, he states it right here. My words have to abide in you. His words have to abide in you. Not merely hearing them, but actually making application of the Scriptures, the commands of Christ, what the Scriptures teach about the life of Christ that you are aspiring to be conformed to. If His words abide in you, He promises that you'll bring forth much fruit. Well, then it's simple, isn't it? What should we do? We should saturate ourselves with the words of Christ, the life of Christ, the example of Jesus Christ. How do we do that? We get in the Word. Because really, from Genesis to Revelation, like I showed you today, just as the kingdom of Christ, the kingdom of God, it runs as a thread all through the Word of God. Everything about the Word of God is centered in Jesus Christ. So you got to dive in. You got to get in the Word. And the Word has to get into you. It has to affect your life. How you live. How you talk. What you think about. All of that has to do with abiding. His words abiding in you. Spiritual fruit grows most abundantly when the disciples of Jesus Christ are found abiding in Him. The key to spiritual fruitfulness is to maintain a climate of fervent, consistent fellowship and communion with the Lord Jesus. That means to delight in His presence and His words. To have His commandments as your rule of life. And that's what it means to abide in Him. And to have His words abide in you. How much more fruitful and spiritual our lives would be if we found ourselves basking every day in the holy light of Christ's presence and drinking in the power of His grace and love. I'm going to tell you, it's not going to work if you're grasping after the world. If you're saturating and filling your mind and your heart with the things of this world, whether it be pleasure or power or popularity or social media. I mean, if your mind is occupied with those things all the time, you're not going to abide in Christ. You're not going to bring forth much fruit. If all you get is a Sunday morning sermon, and the Word, you don't get in the Word the rest of the week, you don't go to God in prayer, you don't talk about the Lord in your home and around other people, His words aren't abiding in you. You're allowing things to crowd out His words. And I'm convinced that is the normal state, and it really I should call it the abnormal state, of many professing Christians that sit in Baptist churches every Sunday. And it can't be that way. If we are truly going to draw nigh to God and live close to Jesus Christ and do what pleases Him and honors Him and glorifies Him and ultimately brings forth fruit unto Him. Oh, that our hearts would truly be occupied with Jesus Christ and our lives regulated by His commands so that we may bring forth fruit, the fruit that honors God. You know, that should be what our whole life should be summed up in, seeking the kingdom of God and His righteousness. Seeking first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. And He'll add everything else if we put Him first. But I fear that so many people have so many things that they think are more important than communion with God. Listen, communion with Christ and walking with Him, abiding in His Word, it's not limited to a church pew. It's not limited to just a devotional time. I'm talking about living your life every day as an act of worship, of communion, of gearing our thought processes to what pleases God in every situation that we're faced with, in our conversation, the people that we work with, how we deal with other people. Am I pleasing God? Am I bringing forth much fruit? Is my mind, my words, my life, is it showing forth a real love for Jesus Christ? He said, if you love me, keep my commandments. J.C. Ryle said this: to abide in Christ means to keep up a habit of constant, close communion with Him. To be always leaning on Him, resting on Him, pouring out our hearts to Him, and using Him as our fountain of life and strength, and as our chief companion and best friend. To have His words abiding in us is to keep His sayings and precepts continually before our memories and our minds, and to make them the guide of our actions and the rule of our daily conduct and behavior. You start implementing that, it's revolutionary. You're going to be filled up with the power and the presence of Jesus Christ. I mean, if we were really abiding in Him, I mean, experiencing the depth of His love, His grace, His presence, His provision on a daily basis, we would never, ever, worry would be a thing of it would be gone. We would realize we're trusting the one that gave his entire life for us. He's the one that is interceding for us. He's the one that dealt with our entire sin debt, who has supplied us with all the righteousness that his Father requires of us. He's literally given us all things. Well, we wouldn't have to worry about anything in any situation. If his words are abiding in us and we are abiding in him, we're depending on his grace. We're resting in his provision. And I guarantee you, if that's true, you're letting other people know about the greatness of your Savior. It'll just come out in the way that we live. To enjoy fellowship with the Savior and to have his words and promises hidden and kept in our hearts are conditions that make for fruitful praying. Notice, I've always said, I've been preaching this for 39 years. The Christian life is not complicated. There's not a big list of things that we have to check off every day. It basically boils down to this. His words in you, and you talk to him and to others. You're reading the Word, meditating on the Word, memorizing the Word, applying the Word. You're talking to him as though he is your source of spiritual power and provision. You go to God in prayer. It doesn't have to be in a posture. It can be anywhere. You can be out planting corn and praying. But it's really a simple Christian life. But I know, for me, reading the Word, memorizing the Word, those aren't hard things for me to do. Praying, sometimes I stutter. I will lose focus. And I need to be a better prayer warrior. I need to be more in the presence of God and breathe in that celestial air. Now, since we've already examined the conditions and qualifications of genuine effectual prayer back in John 14:13, I'll read it and I'm sure you'll remember that sermon. And whatsoever ye shall ask in my name, that will I do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. We spent a whole message basically bringing the things out of that verse. But I want you to understand something about the promise concerning prayer here in verse 7. Ye shall ask what ye will, and it shall be done unto you. Now, there are people that come to this verse, the name it and claim it crowd, and they read into it anything that I want. All I got to do is pray it in Jesus' name and claim it. And man, it's all going to come. I mean, I'm going to go to the mailbox and there are going to be checks from all over the world just because I named it and claimed it. I'm going to go out and buy me a Cadillac. I'm going to buy a 4-bedroom house with a built-in pool because he said if I ask in his name, he will do it. Now, you kind of chuckle at that, but listen, there are preachers preaching that every Sunday. Every day of the week on the TV and on the radio. taking it completely, the promise completely out of context. So this is not limitless, what you want and what you think you need. Because there are some things that we, in our flesh, are prone to ask for that are not good for us and that do not promote the glory of God at all. You know, if you really narrow down your prayer request to the will of God according to the Word of God, if you want to get it down to its to your possessions, well, then what you should be praying is, Lord, help me to be content with food and raiment. Well, wait a minute, preacher. I got a mortgage. I got a roof on my head. Well, that's just something over and above He's blessed you with. But we should be content with food, with raiment. When was the last time you prayed, give me this day my daily bread? Think about it. You take for granted you've got daily bread. You've got food. It's in your pantry. It's in your freezer. When you run out, you go to Walmart. I hate Walmart. But the fact is, this is how we think. We're pretty spoiled. It may come to a place in the United States of America, this land of plenty, where things may really get thin. Will you be content with food and raiment? Will you still abide in Christ and His words abide in you? If that's all you have, if that's all He blesses you with, will you bless Him for it? Will you praise Him for it? Or if the economy goes south and all the cities are burning like and messed up like Seattle, and we live in a dystopian type of America, will you give up on God? Or will you serve Him? And will you do it with joy? And will you pray according to His will? Because I'm going to tell you, the words that He spoke, these words were spoken to the members of the first New Testament church. And to a man, they all suffered some form of persecution and privation. To a man. They went through tribulations. Most of them lost their lives by way of martyrdom. And in chapter 16, when we get there, the ones that He's telling to bring forth much fruit, whose words are to abide in Him, He tells them flat out, if you're connected to Me and you're abiding in Me and you're walking with Me, I need to tell you this, fellows, the world is going to hate you and despise you because that's how the world views Me. Remember the head of Mount Pleasant Missionary Baptist Church, Jesus Christ, when He came into this world, they killed Him. They spit on Him. They plucked out His beard. They derided Him. They hated Him. Yet He went to the cross because He loved you. Because He loved me. And I wonder, will we follow Him? Will we abide in Him? Will we rejoice in Him? If things don't go just the way we think they ought to? I've had to ask God to forgive me when I'm praying, when I get selfish. There are some things that I pray for earnestly. The salvation of my children. And I believe God's answered that prayer. The salvation of my grandchildren. Protection of the Lord for the people that I minister to. And I don't believe any of those are selfish desires. I think all of those things are things that I ought to be occupied with and seeking God and praying about. If we're truly maintaining close fellowship with our Lord, then the things that we request in prayer should be in line with His will and the glory of God. Is it according to His Word? Because that's where His will is found. And does it ultimately bring honor and glory to His name? That makes prayer pretty simple, doesn't it? You talk to God and plead with Him to enable you to honor Him and please Him and bring forth fruit in His name and learn how to be content and how to rejoice in the provision of Christ and all the spiritual blessings He has poured out upon you. Well, when those qualifications are met, we can be sure that God will grant our requests, as promised in 1 John 5. And this is the confidence that we have in Him, that if we ask anything according to His will, He heareth us. And if we know that He hear us, whatsoever we ask, we know that we have the petitions that we desired of Him. You know, it would do you well to think sometimes of all the requests that God has blessed by affirming in your life. All the answers to prayer. It'd take you days, wouldn't it? Now, Charles Ross, he wrote this back in the 1800s. Indeed, the words of Jesus, digested by meditation, nourish in the soul of the believer those holy desires which urge us to prayer. Such a prayer is a product of divine grace. It is God's promise turned into a petition, and it is sure to be heard because this indwelling of His Word secures the harmony of our asking with the will of God. His Word abiding in you, you abiding in Him, which in turn produces prayer that is in line with His Word. The other side of the equation, you're going to bring forth much fruit. It's simply, directly stated in our text. Verse 8, herein is my Father glorified that ye bear much fruit. So shall ye be my disciples. In other words, when this thing is evident in your life, you are displaying and declaring that you are indeed my followers, my disciples, that you're learners in my school of grace. When the saints of God are abiding in Christ and His words are abiding within their hearts and they are praying according to the will of God, the Father is glorified by the spiritual fruit yielded by their life. What a motivation to cultivate and maintain communion and closeness with our Lord. And as such, there should be no greater aim in the life of a Christian than to bring forth much fruit that glorifies the Father in heaven. How is it with you tonight, dear child of God? Are you close to the Lord Jesus? Do His words abide in your heart? Do you relish each opportunity you have to spend time in His presence? Do you love Him above all others and above everything? May God give each of us the grace to answer in the affirmative so that our lives will be fruitful and glorifying to God. And you may say, "Preacher, you have given us just an immeasurable standard to live by." God is holy. His word is holy. Jesus Christ, our innermost desire should be to want to be more like Him. When we bear much fruit, it manifests that we are truly what we claim to be, the disciples and the followers of Jesus Christ. We prove ourselves to be Christ's disciples by displaying Christ-like qualities. Those are the conditions of bearing much fruit. His word abiding in you, and you praying according to the will of God with an eye to the glory of God. Those are the conditions. They're simply stated in our text. I wonder, are we going to apply them? Because I'm telling you, we're living in a day and age of so much superficial, watered down Christianity. May God help us to make an impact in our homes, in our church, at the workplace, by simply abiding and being faithful to God. Let's all stand.